Good morning, church. I'm excited for you today. I've already been wrestling this stuff, so I've already enjoyed it, but you get to taste it this morning. I'm excited for you. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, he writes to the church and he has the audacity, I don't know, some might say the insanity, to say, look, I don't even know if I should pray for to be in heaven right now or if I should stay here with you. Now, anyone that has ever sat in a children's Bible class knows the answer to this question of where would you rather be, heaven or earth? Kids, where would we rather be? See, there you go. If you've ever taught a kid's Bible class and you've done the choral question and answering, the answer is always Jesus or heaven. And the Apostle Paul could sit there and say to the church, I don't know where I would rather be. And you know how he compares them. He says, look, of course, heaven is going to be better. But my service to you here is so important, and it is still bringing glory to God. So whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead, it is for God's glory. Now, that's one of those that's kind of hard to wrap your head around. And it's really one of those that's kind of hard to wrap your heart around. But I believe this morning we're going to get a little closer. I believe today we're going to get a little closer. So, let's go to our Father in prayer so that we can catch a glimpse. Our Father in heaven, today we're going to look in your scriptures and we are going to speak and hear of heavenly things. And I pray that you open our eyes so that we may see. And I pray that you open our hearts that we may believe. And I pray that you open our hands that as we have received, we may give. Father, we are yours in life and in death. Convict us and show us your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in John's Gospel this morning. John's Gospel is doing something unique and something special. And John makes such a great point of the ministry of Jesus, because we know, because of, you know, chapter 3, verse 16, that that's why Jesus came to earth, because God loves us so much, right? Yeah, absolutely. But the whole gospel is opening our eyes to why Jesus came, how he came, and what that has done. And in church, as we get into this and as we start to better understand this, this is going to make so much of a difference in our Christian lives. This is going to make so much of a difference in our time here. And let's be honest, when our time here is up, I can stop talking. You won't have to listen to me anymore. All right? But we're still here, so we still need to hear it. In fact, in John chapter 3, Jesus would say to Nicodemus, how can you believe heavenly things if you don't understand earthly things? And church, this morning is going to be one of those that's going to challenge us. We're going to speak of heavenly things. And some of us may get it. And some of us may be changed. And some of us may be like some of those disciples and say, yeah, I'm going to come back and check on that. I'm going to try to hear that again. And some of us may just go, nah. No, not for me. Not for me. In John chapter 1, Jesus says in verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. He has made him known. Now, here's the premise. Here's the premise that I'm going to throw out to you today, and then we're going to see this throughout John's gospel, and then we'll go back to what Ben read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is both the destination and the journey. Jesus Christ is both the destination and the journey. And if we can understand this, church, the destination becomes elevated to an amazing level that you and I may not be enjoying. Jesus is both destination and journey. Real quickly, rapid fire, John uses a few stories to help us understand this. And we'll take a look at John chapter 4. And these three stories I'm just going to go through real quick. But in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he makes the claim that, John chapter 4 verse 13. We're having this discussion about water, and Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus says, whoever drinks of living water will never thirst. All right, look, I can think about heaven, you can think about heaven, we can think about Jesus as our destination. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Your time is up, your work is over, come inherit what is yours, come rest. Come and not be weary anymore. And Jesus says in John chapter 4, whoever drinks the living water that I provide will not thirst again. Church, our Lord and Savior is telling us we don't have to wait for heaven to have our thirst quenched. And this chapter is talking about the Holy Spirit. That God has given us a gift. A gift that quenches, that brings life, that satisfies. Jesus is the destination and the journey. In John chapter 6, he has fed the crowds, and then he makes the claim that he is the bread of life. That he is the bread of life, that whoever comes to him never hungers, never gets hungry, is fully satisfied. That if we come to Jesus, we may be satisfied. You see the destination and the journey? Because our destination theology starts to take over, doesn't it? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Right? I'll be satisfied then. And Jesus says, you have me. I am the full sustenance that you need. I am the bread of life. I came from heaven. I have come from where you want to go. But the thing is, Jesus came to earth to bring it to us. And so we may be fully satisfied with the Son of God. John chapter 11. It's about to get serious. John chapter 11, you remember the main story? Who's the star of John chapter 11? The answer is not Jesus. Lazarus! John chapter 11 is Lazarus. It's about to get real serious, right? You know this story. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And he died. He died, but Jesus had fair warning, did he not? Jesus, your friend is sick. We should go see him. Yeah, we'll get around to it. He waits until his friend dies. He waits until he dies. Jesus, your friend is in trouble. You can stop his pain. You can fully restore him. Now think about what you know about the Son of God. And think about how much he loves you. And think about how far he is willing to go for you and I to learn a lesson. And he gets to town. And the sisters run out and greet him. And say, Lord, if you had been here, you could have prevented this. If you had been here, we wouldn't be in this situation. You could have stopped this. You could have kept us from experiencing pain. You could have kept us from suffering. Their story broke his heart, did it not? Because we see something very human from Jesus in this chapter. What did he do? He wept. He joined them in their pain before taking it away. Jesus joins them in their suffering before turning it to joy. Think how many times we prayed, Lord, just bring the joy. I want to bypass the suffering. Just give me the good stuff. Bring me the joy. Jesus didn't work like that, did he? No, he didn't. But here's the amazing thing, and here's how he connects the destination and the journey. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Destination, journey. He just brought them together. Life, death, irrelevant. In Christ, not in Christ. Church, that is the new reality that Jesus Christ, God's Son, brings to creation. In Christ, not in Christ. The world is no longer separated by those who are drawing breath and those who are underground. The world is separated by those who are in Christ and not in Christ. Life, death, all that matters is Christ. Isn't that what Paul said in Philippians 1? Life, death, irrelevant states of matter. All that matters is Christ. He has just become, and dare I say it, Jesus has elevated the journey to a much, much closer distance to the destination. I think that's what John is laying down here in this gospel. He has elevated the journey so that what we experience is much closer to our destination. Let's turn over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, starting in verse 1, and we're going to read a few in this one. And again, familiar story, you know it. But now let's read this familiar story in light of what John is doing in his gospel. In light of him trying to elevate our journey to meet the destination. Bringing us to where he is. Jesus says in John chapter 14 verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. With the same trust that you have in the Father, trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. So from now on, you do know him and you've seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Jesus speaks of the destination, doesn't he? That's where this whole chapter begins. I mean, he's getting them ready. He's about to leave them in his fleshly form. The manifestation that they have enjoyed for years now is about to be taken away. It's about to be removed. And he's preparing them, and so he gives them a glimpse of heaven. And if you have ever done a biblical study on heaven, what's the one thing you come away with? Not enough details, right? Yes, it's maddening how few details that we are given of the afterlife. It's almost as if God just says, I'm going to give you a taste and you're going to have to trust me. That's what he does here. Hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Ooh. Yeah, it's a house with many, many rooms. House with many rooms? Okay. But if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will do two things. Come back for you to what? Bring you to myself. To myself. Hey, scripture tells us, and hopefully you remember this, what's more important? The builder of the house or the house itself? What does scripture tell us? The builder of the house. I'm going to let you in on a little news flash. Heaven's not about your mansion, robe, and a crown. Heaven is about you and I getting to be in the presence of God. Without time limits. Without space limits. Without flesh limits. Without sin limits. That's what it's all about. And that's why Jesus came to earth. To restore us so that we could be holy and be with God. And that's what it's all about. So it's not about details about heaven. What is it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? What's it going to be like? What are we going to do? Hey, guess what? Jesus is coming back to get his own, and Jesus is taking us to be with him. So maybe we need to be a little less Thomas and Philip, right? A little less Thomas and Philip. Because Thomas's question, and to be fair, this is our question. How can we know the way? Jesus, how can we know the way to you? What do you mean, Thomas? I am the way to me. Of course you know the way to me. I am the way to me. That sounds an awful lot like destination and journey brought together. When he declares, I am the way and the truth and the life. You see what Jesus does there? See what John does in his gospel? He brings them all together. How do we get to heaven? Jesus. Seems as though that our kids in their Bible class really do have all the answers. How do we get there and where are we going? Well, Jesus is where you're headed and Jesus is how you get there. Wait a minute. I'm in Jesus now. Yeah, now we're starting to get it. Now we're starting to get it. Isn't that awesome? We're starting to understand and realize what Jesus has done for us. Not just, hey, I'm gonna wash you clean and forgive you all your sins, and I'm gonna just watch you just struggle and claw your way through it and just fall on your face and get back up and try again every day and just try to be really good people, and then I'm gonna come. You don't have any more worries. We'll all be taken away. Right? And we get trapped in that existence. We get trapped in what we have deemed that kind of relationship. And instead, Jesus is trying to open our eyes to the fact that he has come. That he will never leave us alone. That he is the journey to get to himself. And so if we're already on the journey of Jesus, with Jesus, to Jesus, church, I think it's okay for you and I to actually enjoy the presence of Jesus. Mind-blowing, I know. That's what John is doing in this gospel. That is the amazing thing that God has done by sending his Son in the flesh so that we could see and touch and hear and know and believe what he has done for us. Now that changes my Christian walk. That changes my life of faith. That my faith moves beyond, well, I hope it's all true. That takes my faith beyond, I hope all of his promises can be trusted. No, that changes my faith to a daily, hourly, minute by minute, wonderful experience in the presence of my Lord and Savior at all things, at all times, at all places. That's what our faith now looks like. Philip says, and we're guilty of this too, show us God! Right? Look, Jesus, we want to believe you. We totally want to believe you. Just show us something else. All the guilty can raise their hands with me. I want to believe, Lord. I want to have the faith that Michael talks about. I want to have the faith that I read in the Bible. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to walk with you every day. So if you could just show me this one thing. Here, I'll set the hoop up for you. If you could just kind of make your way, then I'll be convinced. And then I'm 100% yours. 100%, Lord. No take backs. No take backs. Church, God has already jumped through the hoop that he's going to jump through. He already did everything to earn your faith and trust. He loved you so much, he sent his Son from his side to be manifested in the flesh. Manifested. Limited. In a fleshly form. Fully God and yet also fully human, experiencing the experience of life that we experience. And he lived through every joy and through every pain and through every experience that you and I experience. And he did it perfectly. And then at the end of all that, he said, Father, I know how much you love them, and I love them the same, and I want them to be with us, so I'll do it. I'll lay my will down, and I'll allow your will to be done, because I know in the end, your will is better than mine. So let's show them. And he goes to the cross, and he dies in the flesh for all of our sins, so that this reality of being with him is now possible. Philip says, show us the Father. Open everything up. And Jesus says, I have. It's me. As our faith grows, church, as our faith grows, the journey starts to look more and more like the destination. If you can take away one thing today, that's it. That's it. We have to be okay with what Jesus gives us, because he was okay with what the Father gave him. And that's what it looks like to live a life of journey and destination being brought together. That I can trust Jesus with today because I trust him with eternity. I trust him in death so I can trust him in life. He is the author of life. Everything was made through him, to him, by him, and for him. You know how frustrated you get when your kids just won't trust the answer you give them? And they keep on asking? Why? 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 Hey, any parent in here ever got out wide? Really, just me and Janet, huh? Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you. A little more honesty. Yeah, our kids can out why us on any subject, right? And we don't grow out of it. We just keep on talking to our parents. We go to God. Why? Why? Why'd that have to happen? Why does it look like this? Why is there so much suffering? Why? 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 Because I said so! Right? Absolutely. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We got to see this now in light of John's gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Ben started in 8, I'm going to start at 1 and just catch us up with the beginning. 2 Corinthians 1, 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Church, our journey with Jesus is filled with affliction and comfort. Both. It's filled with affliction and it's filled with comfort, and it's filled with affliction so that we can experience comfort. And Paul says here, in bringing these two things together, when do you experience comfort from your affliction? Now, I know what you want to say. And the Bible class answer is, when the affliction's over. Right? When will I experience comfort for my affliction, Lord? You and I define it as when the problem stops, right? When the pain's gone. When the fights are over. When the money is plenty. When the belly is no longer hungry. However your definition is of it, of today's trouble. Lord, give me comfort. And comfort looks like removal of this affliction. And the Bible says, let's take a look. You might have missed it. Verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. When does our comfort from afflictions occur? When we patiently endure. So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying, or the Bible's saying, I'm not saying it, Paul's saying it. I'll put it on him. You experience the eternal, heavenly comfort of God when you trust him enough in the middle of your afflictions to know his comfort. Sounds a lot like journey and destination being brought together, doesn't it? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, this big, crazy, just giving me a headache this morning kind of thing, because it's big. Paul says that all of this has a purpose. All of this has a purpose. Lord, I think I've received enough of your comfort for one day. So, you know, you can just share the afflictions with somebody else. I have a list of suggestions of names that may need to be comforted by you in such wonderful ways. Would you like them alphabetically or by offense numbers? Yes. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Why the afflictions, Lord? Why is life so hard? Why is the journey painful? Why is the journey so testing? Why is it so difficult? Why is it so rocky? And Paul says, all the journey that we are experiencing now is to bring us to a place of 100% foolproof trusting God. That's it. All of our suffering has a purpose. All of our suffering has a purpose. Because if we don't suffer, we can't be comforted. And when we suffer, we just trust God through it all the way. Doesn't make it hurt less. We're not, you know, rose-colored glasses around here. We're not Pollyanna. We're not saying, oh, your troubles are nothing. That's not bad. I mean, that's what we do to each other. I apologize. We do this to each other, right? What's the first thing we do? So someone tells us, oh, yeah, I'm having a hard day, you know, my knee is really, oh, your knee? Well, I got two knees. Yeah, I banged my elbow. Oh, you banged your elbow? I hurt my shoulders. Right? Yeah, I know. We're guilty. We relate to each other. We outpain each other. We do. We don't encourage each other. Oh, I'm sorry. You hurt your knee? You hurt your knee? Can we stop right here and I can ask God for your healing? Right here? Between Bible study and worship? Right in the middle of the aisle? Can we just make some people uncomfortable? Because they have to walk around us doing the Lord's work? I mean, we're not willing to make each other uncomfortable. Do you think we have a shot making someone in the world uncomfortable? I posit we do not. If we're not willing to do the Lord's work in here for each other, I know we're not doing it out there. Right? And I say that as a collective we bearing the guilt. What if we understand that we all experience afflictions and we all experience God's comfort, and praise be to God, He has allowed us to be a source of the comfort. Destination and journey. And Paul wraps all this up, and I love this. I love this. Well, how do I know? How do I know, Michael? Because, you know, surely the destination and the journey cannot be anywhere close to each other. Because the destination sounds great. And the journey really stinks. Really? I dare you this afternoon to go home to your prayer closet and tell God that walking with His Son on a daily basis stinks. I dare you. I dare you to say that prayer today, to go to your Father in heaven and saying, hey, being filled with the Spirit of your Son is horrible. You want to go there? Well, in essence, we do, do we not? Jesus says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know the way, I'm the way. You got everything you need. Why are you still asking me for proof? Why don't you just trust me and let's get on? Church, some of us need to repent of our Thomas and Philip hearts. You know, Lord, just jump through this one more hoop and I'll be satisfied. Just show me this one thing in my life and I'll be okay to follow you. My faith will be strong. I'll be good. I'll be all set. In verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. All the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And that is why through Him we utter our amen to God for His glory. Sounds like, church, our journey with Jesus is just a little better than we may have thought. Sounds like our daily walk with our Lord and Savior is just a little more powerful and a little more glorious than we've been given it credit for. It sounds like our journey with Jesus is a little bit more closer to heaven than we've been given it credit for. Go back and read the Gospel of John. I dare you. Especially if you're going to pray to God the way I've suggested. Go read John's Gospel this week. Just read it with those eyes. See all the things that Jesus is bringing together. Your present day circumstances and eternity. They're brought together in Jesus Christ. So our journey and our destination are one. Hey, I will ask you to show hands for this one. Anybody plan on being in a good mood in heaven? Oh, good. All right, three of us. Yes. Fantastic. Start now. Start now. That's why Jesus said, oh, hey, when I come back for all you guys, am I going to find any faith? You going to be living your life just trusting me, walking with me, enjoying me? Are you going to get to the point where you go, you know what, alive or dead? I don't even know at this point because the living's so good because I get to walk with Jesus. He's been brought here for me and He dwells with me. And He has given me His holiness. And He has made me a tabernacle. And He and I get to walk around all day together. And He gets to live right here by faith. Increase our faith. We're going to sing a song. And if you need to respond, well, you know. I don't know. The Lord knows. But I do think that we need to close this one out with a prayer. Because I'm honestly, I'm not, I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on us. That's me included. I'm still trying to figure this stuff out too. I just know there's more than we give it credit for. There's more than we give it credit for. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we confess our faith to you. We confess our belief in your only Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we confess to you our unbelief. We confess to you all the things that we leave on the table. We confess to you all the ways in which we don't trust you. We confess all the ways that we don't enjoy you. We confess all the ways that we don't share you. Father, we find all of your yeses in Jesus. So let us be those who understand that in the spiritual sense, the journey is as good as the destination. Let us live our lives closer to the destination and not so estranged. Forgive us when we fall, Father, and strengthen us so that we might stand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.